The argument is that from 45 to 75, 79, there was consensus. And then thereafter, Thatcher came in, challenged the welfare state, challenged employment laws, challenged the trade unions. You know, that's another aspect where there was some agreement, industrial relations. And all the old consensus went. And there is, I think, an element of truth in that. I mean, the person who, generally speaking, most people have talked about consensus. This was Richard Titmuss, some of the early historians, even Martha Margaret, many others have argued about consensus politics. Peter Kavanagh and all these others. The only people who've really challenged them is the late Ben Pimlott, for instance, and one or two other people who said, well, there wasn't that much consensus when you look at it. You know, on education, Labour and the Conservatives, completely different, etc., etc. And I think there is an element of truth in that as well. But then, if you look at any political party, you can say there are three or four or five, six groups, and only one group comes forward dominating the ideas. But you've got the left and the right and the centre in all political parties. So what do you really want? Do you want consensus that's absolute? It never existed. Or do you think that you want consensus that's relative? In other words, by and large, that's where people are. And I think that that's the real argument, that, you know, in 1945 to the 70s, by and large, both political parties were happy with a minimum of government intervention in industry. They operated the National Health Service, the National Insurance System, similar policies on housing. The only one that perhaps is distinctive is education, because the Conservatives wanted education to be continued, divided up with grammar schools and private grammar schools, direct grammar schools, technical colleges. They wanted that relative, whereas Labour's policy under Crossland and others was effectively to put everybody in what used to be called multilateral schools. They became known as comprehensives, and these days are probably known as high schools. You know, where you go in there, but there's many different levels, but it's one institution. And Labour's attitude is that you're not dividing people up, you're dividing them according to their ability once they're in that school, and they can go in different directions according to their needs and whatever. Whereas if you put them in a secondary modern, it's very difficult to jump from a secondary modern to a grammar school. In fact, it's almost impossible. And really, Labour's policy was distinct in that. That's the only area that was distinct. That obviously brings in questions such as 11 plus. I mean, the 11 plus, never think the 11 plus is about intelligence. You know, if you ever think that, then you're miles, you know, you sit at the age of 11, or later on 12 sometimes, and 11 plus, and the top marks go into the grammar school. Well, that might be partly true, but you've got to remember that some places, like Barnsley, they had 8% of children going to grammar school. Some places like Sheffield had 40%. To get into a grammar school in Barnsley, you had to have 130 IQ. In 1958. In Sheffield, you needed an IQ of 104. Now, the average IQ of students at universities in the 60s, before the widening of participation, was calculated to be 118. So to get to a grammar school in Barnsley, you got to have a IQ on that particular day 12 higher than the average university graduate to actually get into a grammar school. I know, because I suffered that system. I had an IQ of 129, and I failed, so the following year I took it and I had an IQ 135, and when they opened a new school I got into it. So, you know, don't think it's about that. And Labour said, well, let's sweep it away. So I think there is, if we go back, the welfare state is very much a coming together of an old liberal insurance system marrying with the National Health Service to create the basis of the welfare state in this country. That whilst there were many differences between different political groups, between the Conservatives and the Labour, which existed, there was still a broad body of similar sort of policies. The detail might change, but the general direction was the same. And this was not really seriously challenged until the late 70s, when there were economic problems and when Thatcher came into power. And ever since then, we've had much more selectivity and less universality in provision.